Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, Lord of my heart,
Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee.
So brothers and sisters, Brother Akeem will come tonight and be our speaker. So we please ask that you be here to hear the speaker bring the word. Amen. So now we're going to begin to open the line for our brothers and sisters. And we ask them that you press 1, because we do know that your Heavenly Father has been glorified because you, my sisters and brothers, you could have made a choice to be anywhere, but you come to the prayer line. So we ask him that you press 1 and you can begin to share. We want to give you your time right now that you can share. But you know what? We have no one press 1 yet. But you know what, Sister Leola? Well, first of all, I'm calling from Louisiana, and my name is Sister Leola, and I wanted to share with my brothers and sisters, as I've been studying and reading about the love for God, God's love for man, and I just want to just put something on your mind to think about when the Bible talks about. I've been pondering. You know how the Lord says, ponder on a scripture, and then let God give you the answer. You know what I've been pondering on? The first book in Steps to Christ, God's Love for Man. And I just want to share with you, sister and brother, nature and revelation of God's love. Now, I want to ask you a question. Just, you don't have to answer, or when you press 1, you could share what you know about this. When it says nature and revelation testify alike, this is my answer. When I look at nature and how nature, how God feeds everything, he supplied food for everything. He gives them protection. Everything God has created, he has put in a certain protection that they can protect themselves. He feeds them. He supplies all their needs. And even he says, even the blades, the grass, speaks of his goodness. So when I think of the nature, I look at the birds, how they sing, how they strike, how they little pin, how it's perfect. They are so perfect. And as a, like they say, an artist doesn't do God's work no justice. But the work that God did with the bird, how he made that bird, how he did a woodpecker. A woodpecker has that perfect red around his beak, and he peck at wood, you see? And then he has the little sparrow, the little sparrow. God says he feeds him. So, and okay, let's go to Revelation. When the Bible says nature and revelation testify alike, well, God's word, revelation means revealed. God revealed to us all the beauty of this world. He revealed to us that when we see nature, you see what Christ, we see our Creator and what our Creator has done. And when I start pondering upon these things, I say, God, you are so good. And even man, when he created you and I to fellowship, to be able to come and want to commune together. All this is the love of God. He did this. And that's why he says that we have to love one another, because if we don't love one another, God searched the heart, and he knows whether or not we are not right. So I just praise him for this beautiful paragraph in God's love for man. So sisters and brothers, I will open your line and I will let you share and you can talk now. So we're going to open the line for our brothers and sisters, and you can press 1 and I will open your line. I see no one has pressed 1, but I will continue to just share this love. And you know, when God created the love for man, he put everything here for man to enjoy. Okay, we have people done press 1. So praise God, my brothers and sisters. God is love. Amen. The first one that pressed, let us open the line for 917. Your line is open, 917. 981. Your line is open. Please give us your name and where you're calling from.
Good night, Sister Leola. This is Daisy from Long Island, New York.
Amen.
Amen. First of all, I want to thank you so much for having me on the line, and I'm able to come and ask for prayers. Secondly, I want to lift up every brother and sister on this prayer line and for God to give them each and every blessing and for God to always watch over their families and to keep every single family away from the enemy in any way, shape, or form. I ask for prayers for me and my family, Sister Leola, my children, myself, my mother, my boyfriend. I ask a prayer, a special prayer. I'm having surgery coming up the 16th of September. I'm asking for a special prayer that my surgery will be a success and everything will work out the way, because the pain that I'm feeling is unbearable, and I know God will work out a way for this, and I will be pain-free. And ask for a special prayer because this weekend has been a tough weekend. The enemy has tried to defeat me again, once again, and he's tried to overcome me. And I had a very tough weekend where I was falling back into a depression mode. But I ask and I pray God and I beg God to take me out of that, because I didn't want to get back there again. And thankfully this morning I got up and I got an extra burst of energy and an extra burst of upliftment and enlightenment that I was able to get up and do my chores and able to give thanks as I do every day to God for waking me up and making me see another day and for each and every blessing that he gives me and my children, my loved ones, and everyone every single day. So I thank him so much and I give praise, thanks, and gratitude for God for taking me out of that little bit of rump that I was in yesterday. And like I said, I'm asking for special prayer for my family, for my boyfriend. He was in a car accident. Thank God, God was with him and angels was by his side, that he suffered no bad injury, nobody was hurt bad, nobody was killed, anything like that. He came out of it with a little scratches and bruises. The car was a wreck, but thank God he's okay. So I'm asking for a special healing prayer for him. And again, thank you so much, Sister Leola, for hearing my prayers. And thank you very much. And I lift up each and every one on this prayer line, and may God bless each and every one of you. Thank you.
So Daisy, what day is that surgery?
On 16th of September, my sister. That's Friday coming.
Gotcha. Because we're not going to only just pray for this on this day. We're going to pray for this very up until that day that you will have that surgery. So we will lift this up, sister, in prayer. But right now, you know what? I'm going to offer a prayer because, you know, I am so grateful. I'm so thankful to the Lord that he put up on your heart to come to the prayer line, my sister, because the enemy always wants to defeat you. And you know what? Mm-hmm. He tell you, oh, don't go, stay in that depression. Don't go in the prayer line. Don't do this. Don't do that. Mm-hmm. But thank God you came and you got that extra strength God gave you, and you can come. So let us pray for you right now. And I'm asking my brothers and sisters, you know, if we all come together and lift up Sister Daisy, you know, we rebuke that spirit of depression, because we want our sister to be holy in God's word. And Sister Daisy, when you feel that depression, please call Sister Tamika, call somebody. Don't keep it to yourself, sister, because that's where it's troubling, okay? Call someone. Don't just deal with it. Call someone so we can lift up in prayer. So
Sister
Tamika
has been like a rock. She's been like a rock for me. I call her all the time. She always sends me uplifting prayer and uplifting positivity every day, and I could never be thankful enough to her for everything that she's doing. So I praise Sister Tamika for everything she has done for me. She's a wonderful friend.
Yes, and I know she is. I know that. Because she has gotten many people here on this prayer line, and I just praise God for her. And, you know, God sees the work she is doing. God knows the work. And, you know, he sent her and he directed to people that need him. So let's pray. Let us pray. Oh, gracious and most holy Father, we come before you, Father. Lord, as we lift up Sister Daisy to you, Lord, we know that, Lord, what she has said, we asking you, Father, you know her situation. So, Father, we asking you right now to send her, lead her, and guide her, Father,
And don't let no enemy get no glory, Father, because she is your child. And she calleth on you. She come to this prayer line, Lord Father. She could have not had gone. She didn't have to get on the prayer line, but her heart leading her and guiding her to this prayer line, Father. So we want to thank you for what you've done, Lord, because the enemy wants to destroy brothers and sisters. But God, you said, they are my child, because you told the devil, don't touch Job, because Job, you can go and do this and do that, but don't kill him. But Heavenly Father, I thank you for my sister for coming and choosing to get on the prayer line, that we may lift her up in prayer. And Father, we know you said when you ask, you shall be given. So now, Lord, she's asking for you to save her, to strengthen her, to help her, Lord Father, and pleading for her right now, Lord. Her children, Lord, her family, Father, her home, Lord Father. We know that you know her situation and know how to take care of her. So, Father, please have mercy. Lord, that surgery she's about to go through, Lord, you are the doctor in the room, Lord Father. So we ask that you, Father, to please have mercy. And if anything, Lord, we ask that you guide those doctors' hand, that Dr. Jesus, you're going to be the master of the doctors, and be able to deliver your daughter. So have mercy. Lead her and guide her. Keep her, Father, and always give her that protection. Send your holy angels in her home around, all around her, Father, and forgive her of her sins. Lord, Father, as she comes to you, Lord, Lord, she's sorry, Father, for all her sins. Lord, we are sorry for all our sins. But, Lord, we know when we are there struggling, Lord, Father, the enemy want us to. But, Lord, I know right now she has fallen to a state, Lord, to humble herself, Lord. Right now it's humility. Father, she letting you know she can't trust nobody. She can't allow herself to nobody but you, Father. So take her will right now and help her and strengthen her right now, Father, because you know her situation, Lord, Father. And we thank you for what you will do and what you already have done, Father, because you did deliver her and you brought her to the prayer line. So we thank you for what all you will do, Father, especially in her surgery, Lord. We know you got that, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Thank you, Lord, Father, for your blessing. Amen. My sister, be strong, because
you know what he said,
I have in my sin. And he said, just trust him and believe and surrender. And he said, you know what? He said, I've already prayed for you. And I went to my father and I talked to my father, and my father said that he loved you. So sister, just trust and believe. You tell yourself, I know he loved me. I know he strengthened me. You keep telling yourself that. You keep telling you he make me strong, and he then gave me a will, and it's his will, and I will follow. Be strong, my sister. We love you. We love you.
Thank you. Love you guys too.
Yes, God bless. We love you. Stay connected. Amen. And brothers and sisters, we're going to open the next line. And we will continue to pray for our sister, because we do know that she has humbled her, God. Amen. So we thank God for her. So brothers and sisters, we're going to open the next line. Amen. And we're going to keep her in prayer. So we open the next line for 518-744. Your line is open. And keep Sister Eva in prayer. And may God bless her. We thank her for joining the line tonight. So thank you, brothers and sisters. 518-744, your line is open. Amen.
Amen, Sister Leola. Thank you. This is Brother Rick from Fort Ann, New York. And wow, that was a powerful prayer, sister. Thank you. You know, God is there waiting to hear from us. And oftentimes we say we're waiting on him. But no, he's waiting on us, and, you know, he just, he wants those prayers to be lifted up to him so that he can start working on them, and that was very powerful, sister. Thank you. I just grateful for this prayer line and just the powerful prayers that go up. It's a blessing to be on here. And I'm just thankful. Last weekend, I was on town all weekend, so did not get on the line with, actually, my daughter was here, and we went hiking on Sunday, and the Lord protected us. We had a very long, hard hike, and I didn't know if we were going to make it back, but we did. By the grace of God, he led us back, and everybody was safe and healthy when we got done, and I'm just thankful for that. You know, God has been working, and he is he's blessing us as you know, as we follow him, and I'm just grateful for that. I had a couple of verses here. I got to get my Bible here. I wanted to read for everybody that we were reading this morning, and I just wanted to share that with everybody. So give me just a quick moment here. I got my Bible right here, and this was a very good few verses that I was reading this morning with my wife, and Philippians chapter 2. There we go, Philippians 2. I got it here. We're starting with verse 5, I believe. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. I was reading that this morning with my wife. Actually, I was studying this in our Sabbath school lesson earlier, and then we read it together later on at breakfast time. Paul was telling us here, let this mind be in you, the mind that was in Christ Jesus. He wants Christ's mind should be our mind, okay? He is willing to give it to us if we call it him. He was God, okay? He did not think it was robbery to be called equal to God, because he was God. But being God, the creator of the universe, the creator of us, of this earth, of each one of us, he took upon himself the form of a servant. And he was made in the likeness of us, of men, which, if you think about that, I mean, here he is, the creator of the universe. He could do anything, and he allowed himself to be made to look just like us. And then in this form of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. Now, you think about that, when Jesus was dying, you know, he could have died a glorious death, if death can be glorious. I mean, he could have been surrounded by his followers, and they could have been praising him and all these things, but no, that's not the way it was. He died the death on the cross, died the death of a thief, of a murderer, of a rapist, of all these things. And these people around him were taunting him and calling him to come down, if he was really who he said he was, to come down off that cross and to show them who he was. And Jesus, knowing that that was the enemy trying to get him off that cross, said, no, I'm going to stick this out, and he did. And hanging on that cross, he died for each one of us as an example, and to pay the atonement for our sins. Once he had died, sister, this is the most awesome part, and this is what he is calling us. He says to each one of us, follow me. You're going to suffer wrongs from others. You're going to be misrepresented it. You're going to be lied about. People are going to curse you and maybe persecute you at some point. But after they did all this to Jesus, says, wherefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. And it just hit me. And Jesus went through all this, and his Father was so pleased by what he had done. He was, because Jesus had reconciled man to God, and his Father has given him a name above every name in the universe. And the most awesome part about that is, as if you think about that, Jesus said himself that he died this death was ours, that we deserved to die, so that we could share in the glory that he deserved. So glory that Christ deserves, and is going to get, you're going to share in that when we get to heaven if we are faithful. And this is just such an amazing thought that Christ would come down here and die for me, for each one of us. And he's going to share his glory with us when we get to heaven. And I don't know if I still can't comprehend that, but it's every now and then it sinks in just a little bit more. And I just wanted to share that with everyone because it's just an amazing thought and what Jesus did for me and for each one of us on the prayer line. So I will stop with that, sister, but I just wanted to remember Ashley in prayer. She is down in rehab. She is doing okay. I finally got a little box of garlic sent to her. I had four little books that I put in there for her, and hopefully she has a told her to share them with her friends, and I got a Steps to Christ, and I have some other books that I have here, Power of Prayer by Roger Morning, and some other books I sent down there. So I'm just praying that those books will get in the right hands, and those ladies who are down there will be blessed by them, and maybe it'll encourage them to turn their life over to Christ, and he can heal them, because without his healing power, none of those people that are addicted to whatever substance they're addicted to ever recover from that. So I just prayed for them. And Sister Leola, I just wanted to also lift up Kevin in prayer. I've asked a prayer for him before. He has cancer, and I just talked to him yesterday. Sabbath, I called him up to see how he was doing. He wasn't in church. And he was feeling pretty silly and does not have long to live. He was feeling worse and worse. He's on oxygen all the time, and he has no energy left. He's just going downhill quickly. So I just want to lift up Kevin in prayer that the Lord will take care of him. The Lord will save him from suffering any more than he has to, and that Kevin will be right with the Lord when his time comes, that he will be right with God, and he will be able to see him on that sea of glass when Jesus comes and takes us to heaven. So that's, and also I still want to pray for my wife. She is feeling a little bit poorly this weekend. She did not go to church because she couldn't get up and get around, and but she's doing okay for the most part, just waiting for her surgery in October. And I hope we're praying that God will bless that and be successful. And so it's just my sister Daisy, who just called, was praying for her surgery, and he'll keep her in prayer also. So thank you very much, Sister Leola, for opening my line, and just praising God for his goodness.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Brother Rick, for coming on and sharing, especially when you were talking about Christ, what he said, what we deserve. We deserve to die, but you know what? He said,
amen.
Maybe we deserve, but he died. And when he went to his father and pleased his father about the work he have did here on earth. You know, my sisters and brothers, you know, that's one thing about it, as Brother Rick just said. And that was because although Sister Leola been here 60 years, a little bit, we get a little bit here and there. We don't really get the full understanding what Christ did for us. Now, let's just think on that. He died for all, every one of us on this prayer line, everyone in this world. One man sinned, and one man came and saved the whole world. One man's sin brought us all sinners, and one man, Savior, came and delivered us all. He redeemed Amen. Us back to the Father, and praise God, and no one is left out. All we have to say, I accept your redeeming blood that you have spilled for us. I believe, Jesus, I believe my Father and my Savior. And yes, he accepts us. So he say, believe. He say, believe, and you're going to have what you need. Oh, thank you, Lord, for that. So, Brother Rick, you and Amen. I are believing that Ashley and Jarvis and Amari and our youth and Sister Carla's children, we believe, and Sister Tamika's son, Taiwan, and Tony, and Sister Daisy, and Sister Eva, her children. You see, we believe what God can do, and God will deliver. Amen. He said, just stand back and see the salvation of God. So all we have to do is stand back and just keep praying and keep having faith, because you know what? But I know my sister is on the line. She gave a testimony last week, brothers and sisters. I'm going to ask her to come give that testimony, because a lot of you guys were known here. Sister Katie, I see Sister Katie on here. Sister Katie, please come give that powerful testimony. Sister Katie gave a test. She had been dealing with this thing, and finally, she is seeing blessings. She's been dealing with this for 3 or 4 or 5 years. So I'm hoping she will give another testimony, because Sister Katie, everybody know, some people that's on here today was not on here last week when you gave it. So please press 1 and share your testimony so they can glorify God with and showing how she's been blessed. So Brother Rick, your wife can come through. Everything is by God's grace. Everything, brothers and sisters, is by his grace. So we just want to thank God for what Brother Rick brought to us. Is that what and what he did, he will continue. He said he don't start his work and he doesn't finish it. He finished his work. Amen. So, Brother Rick, thank you. And I'm going to open the other lines because I'm talking a little bit too much. But I thank you, sisters and brothers, for coming on and sharing and coming to share your testimony, coming to give God glory. It's nothing for us. We are just Christ using us of vessels. Amen. So we're going to go to the next line. Thank you so much, Brother Rick, for coming and sharing that that little ministry, that little mini power preaching to us. We appreciate it. So we're going to go to the next caller. By God's grace, give me just a second, sisters and brothers. Yes, we're going to go to the next caller. We thank Brother Rick once again. We thank Sister David for coming to share. And now we will open the line for 857-505. Your line is open. And brothers and sisters, we're asking you to press 1 and share. 585-857, your line is open. You can give us your name.
Amen. Amen, Sister Miola. Blessing sisters on the prayer line. My name is Brother Eli. I'm calling from Boston, Massachusetts. Brothers and sisters, brothers and sisters, brothers and sisters, God is good. Brothers and sisters, God is amazing. God, He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. Brothers and sisters, today, brothers and sisters, I like to thank God for His mercy, His love. I like to thank God for His love. Because He is good. He's awesome God. He's a mighty God. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord. He is the Lord of Lords. There is no one else like Him ever. For your request, Sister Miola, today, before I bring my prayer request, Sister Miola, is to lift up my mother in prayer. Please, Sister Miola, lift up my mom in prayer. My mom needs a lot of prayer. And Sister Miola, do not forget to lift up Sister Tamiko in prayer. Lift up Sister Tamiko in prayer and her family members. Do not forget to lift up Sister Anna Kay and her family members. Lift up Sister Anna Kay and her mother too. And please, Sister Miola, lift up Sister Anna Kay that she was strong because her grandma passed away. So we're going to lift up Sister Anna Kay in prayer, Sister Miola and Sister Miola. I want to encourage Sister Anna while she's in with Sister Tamiko on the line. Sister Anna Kay, remember this. Be strong. Be strong in the Lord, my dear sister. Sister Anna Kay, I know it's hard for you, but be strong, Anna Kay. Remember, you will see your grandma again. You will see her again, Sister Anna Kay, because Jesus is coming soon, Sister Anna Kay. Be strong, Sister Anna Kay. Be proud of your grandma because Sister Anna Kay, she is in a better place, Sister Anna Kay. She is with the Lord. She is with the Lord Jesus Christ, Sister Anna Kay. Believe, trust in the Lord, Sister Anna Kay. Remember this, my dear sister. Trust in the Lord, my dear sister. Be obedient. Be strong. Read your Bible, Sister Anna Kay. Read your Bible, my dear sister, because Sister Tamiko is helping you to drive close to the Lord, drive close to God. Be strong. Have a better experience with the Lord, because Sister Anna Kay, I feel like praying for you at the moment. Let us pray, Sister Miola. Yes, Lord God, Heavenly Father, Lord God, we magnify your name, God, this moment, God. God, you're awesome, God. You're worthy to be praised, Lord God. How excellent is your name, God. God, we come to you because, God, you are faithful, Lord God, this moment, God. We want to lift up Sister Miola, God, who is hosting, Lord. We ask God to strengthen Sister Miola, Lord. We ask God to give Sister Miola the power, Lord. Give Sister Miola deliverance, God. God, you are able, God, to do all things, God. God, bless Sister Miola, Lord. God, we want to lift up Sister Miola, God, who is hosting, Lord. Bless Sister Miola's children, Lord. Watch over Sister Miola's children, Lord. God, we ask God to strengthen her, Lord. God, bless her children, Lord. God, we want to lift up Sister Tamiko to you, Lord. We ask God to come bless Sister Tamiko, Lord, in a special way, Lord. We ask God to watch over Sister Tamiko, Lord. We ask God to come bless Sister Tamiko, Lord. God, we want to lift up Sister Tamiko's daughter, God, Sister Kaisa, Lord. Strengthen Sister Kaisa, Lord. God, we ask God to strengthen Sister Tamiko, Lord. God, we want to lift up Sister Tamiko's son, Lord, Brother Taiwan, Lord. We ask God to change his heart, Lord. We ask God to watch over him, Lord. God, we want to lift up Sister KDN, Lord. We ask God to watch over Sister KDN. KDN, Lord. We ask God to watch over Sister KDN, God. God, allow Sister KDN, God, to be obedient, Lord. Allow Sister KDN, Lord. God, allow Sister KDN, God, to have the fruit of the Spirit, Lord, whether it's love, kindness, self-control, long-suffering, Lord. God, we want to lift up individual to you, Lord. God, this moment, God, I want to lift up Sister Anna K, Lord, who lost her grandma, Lord. We ask to God to strengthen Sister Anna K, Lord. We ask to God to give her the strength, Lord. We ask to God to allow Sister Anna K, Lord, to stay strong in you, Lord. God, you are able, God, to do all things, God, we know it's hard for her, Lord. We ask to God, allow Sister Anna K, Lord, to hang in there, Lord. Allow her to stay strong, Lord. Allow her to know, God, you are coming soon, Lord. She will see her grandma again, Lord. She will see her grandma again, Lord. God, we ask God to strengthen Sister Anna K, Lord. We ask God to wipe her tears, Lord. We ask God to wipe her tears, God. God, we ask God to wipe her tears, God, from her eyes, Lord. We ask God to strengthen Sister Anna K, Lord. Why is she with Sister Tanika, Lord? We ask God to strengthen Sister Anna K, Lord. God, we ask God, our Sister Anna K, Lord, to be obedient, Lord. Allow her to get baptized, Lord, in Seventh-day Adventist, Lord. Allow Sister Anna K, Lord, to learn of you, Lord. Allow her to have a better experience with you, Lord. Allow her to learn your character, Lord. God, we ask God to the fruit of the Spirit, Lord, whether it's love, kindness, Lord, self-control, Lord, long-suffering, Lord. We ask God to watch over her, Lord. We ask God to strengthen her, God. God, we ask God to watch over her, Lord. God, as she's on the prayer line with Sister Tamika, Lord, with Sister Miola, Lord. God, we ask God, love Sister Miola, Lord, to encourage her at this moment, Lord. Sister Anna K, Lord. God, we ask God to strengthen all of us, Lord. Allow Sister Miola, Lord. Bless Sister Miola, Lord. Bless Sister Powell, Lord. Bless Sister Stephanie. Bless Brother Akeem James, Lord. We ask God to watch over them, Lord. God, I want to thank you, God, for you have done for Brother Akeem James, Lord. Brother Akeem is going to preach on the line, Lord. We ask God to watch over him, Lord. God, I want to live for Brother Rick, God. We want to live for Brother Zanceni, Lord. We want to lift up everyone to you, Lord. We want to lift up Brother O'Neill, Lord. We ask God to watch over Brother O'Neill, Lord. We ask God to strengthen him, Lord. God, we want to lift up Sister Olga, Lord, who lost her mother, Lord. God, we ask God to strengthen Sister Olga, Lord. We ask God to watch over Sister Olga, Lord. God, we ask God, love Sister Olga, Lord, to be strong in you, Lord. Allow her to be strong, Lord. Allow her to know, God, you are coming soon, Lord. God, come bless all of us, God. Allow Sister Miola, Lord, to encourage our Sister Anna K, Lord, when I'm finished praying, Lord. Watch over us, God. Strengthen us, Lord. God, in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Sister Miola, I don't know, can you encourage our Sister Anna K, because she lost her grandma.
Amen. Amen. Yes. We're going to encourage her, because she do need encouraging, and we pray, Brother Eli, to pray for Anna K, and may she read a scripture to know that, you know, that her loved ones sleeps in the grave until Jesus come back, and for one thing, and that she trust in the Lord, because he will, to know that we got to trust in the Lord. We can't cry over our loved ones, but you have to move forward, because you don't want to become too depressed. We have to move forward. We have to pray and give it to Jesus when our loved one passed like that, because it can actually overtake you if you continue to stay like that. Because I remember reading, and one of the scriptures, they had mourned over the parent too long, and God said, no, don't do that. You're mourning because you're almost giving yourself over to something else. God said, you put him first. And know when your loved ones die like that, just pray and give it to God, because the Bible says, it says it's a time and a place for everything, and everyone one day
you know, we gonna die. So if that's why you shouldn't mourn too long, because you don't want to go into a depressed state. So by God's grace, we're going to lift up Brother Eli, and the Lord will take care everything else, okay? He takes care. So we pray for the family that that the Lord will help them get through it and for them not to mourn too long and cause themselves to have heart problems or worry. Because you know when that worry began, it began to cause serious problems in your health. So that's why God don't want us to worry and mourn too long. Amen. So we want to thank Brother Eli for coming on. And he has such a sincere heart to be concerned for everyone and to love everyone. And that's why Brother Eli has been the brother on this prayer line, just to pray for everyone, to bring requests for everyone. I'm telling you, he shared it. So by God's grace, the Lord will take care of it, Brother Eli, and he hear your prayers too. So let us continue to just thank him and praise him for what he's doing. But we're going to go to the next line. Amen. And so others can share. So brothers and sisters, we keep that in prayer also, and we will lift it up in our general prayer. So let us open the next line, 27277. Your line is open. Amen. 272.
Amen.
Your line is
Hi,
open.
Sister Neola. How are you? God bless you, my sister, and I thank you so much for opening my line.
What's your name? Sorry.
I have Sister Anna Kay on the line with me. And Sister Anna Kay.
Say
hi, Sister Anna Kay. This is Sister Leola.
Who's that? Her name? Sorry.
Her name is Sister Leola. Leola is her name.
Ola.
Yeah.
Wait, is it L O or the?
No, it's Leola. Leola. Yeah.
Leola. Tanico.
Yeah.
If your name is Japanese, right?
Yeah.
And her American name or?
I think so. I think she has an American name. I'm not sure, Sister Anna Kay. I'm not too sure. But it's a beautiful name. Sister Leola is a beautiful person.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be funny if my name was like that?
Anna Kay, how are you? You would like to give a prayer request or you'd like to share?
What should you talk to me? I'm confused.
Would you like to share a testimony or would you like to just thank God for something?
Wait, who that talking right now?
Yes, you can speak to Sister Leola. You can give her prayer requests if you'd like her to pray for you and your mom. She will pray for you. We all will pray for you.
I'm not so good with church. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Wait, who's not talking right now? You or?
Yeah, this is me talking right now, Sister. I want to bring you to the prayer line. Yes. Amen.
Please don't put him on the phone.
Please. Okay, my sister. He's not on the phone. It's just myself and Sister Leola.
So why is
it? Everything is going to be okay.
Yes.
Everyone can hear you. Would you like to say a word of prayer, my sister?
I'm not so good with prayers.
Oh, okay. So we'll lift you and your mom up in prayer. And I'm going to sing a song, To God Be the Glory. Would you like to stay on the line and listen to me to sing a song? Amen.
Please don't.
Okay.
Give me a headache. Please.
Okay, sweetheart. No problems. It's just myself and Sister Leola. Amen. Amen. To God be the glory. Great things he does. So love you.
Would you mind?
you're going to have to mute.
Oh,
because
okay,
we
I'm
own
sorry.
The prayer line and your line is open, please mute, because we don't
okay.
want to agitate the others. We please mute.
Oh, okay, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, we
she,
have to
she,
be,
hung up,
we have
she
to
hung up from the line.
Others.
Amen,
yeah.
amen. She hung up from the line, Sister Leola, so I was just singing
okay.
To God
okay,
be
go
the
ahead,
glory. Then. Amen. Sorry, she hung up. Thank you. Amen. To God be the glory, great things he has done. So loved he the world that he gave us his son, who yielded his life in atonement for sin, and opened the life's gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he has done. Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer the promise of God, the veriest offender who truly believes. That moment from Jesus a pardon received. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he has done. Great things he has taught us, great things he has done, and great are rejoicing through Jesus the Son. The purer and higher and greater will be a wonder I'll transport when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he has done. Amen. Praise the Lord. I just want to read a verse out of the Bible taken from Psalms 121, verses 1 through 8. Amen. I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, my help. My help comes from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon the right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. Verse 8, the Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in, from this time forth, even forevermore. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, my sister, for opening my line, and I just want to lift up everyone in the prayer line. Blessings to each and every one of us tonight. And for the prayer request, I ask that you please lift up my family, my children, my grandchildren, and I'm praying for all my beloved brothers and sisters on this prayer line. I'd like to lift them up in prayer. Also prayer for Sister Eva, for Brother Eli, for Sister Anna Kay, and for Sister Daisy and her family as well, and for you, Sister Leola, and your precious family as well, and for Brother Rick and his family. I would like to lift them up in prayer, and his wife, and everyone that's in prayer line. So thank you so much. God bless you all. Love you all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Tamiko, just for singing that song and lifting us up. I tell you, God is so good. So thank you so much for always loving God's people to try to help them. And I tell you, it's a blessing, the help you try to give each and every one. So continue doing that. And the Lord sees the heart. So thank you once again. And now we're going to open up this next caller, please.
Call us at 423-635. Your line is open, and you can give us your name and where you're calling from. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Sister Leola. This is Sister Carla. I'm just praising the Lord here in Tennessee. He is good and worthy to be praised. I thank him for a safe journey, for bringing me home safely, and just able to come on the prayer line and praise the Lord for his goodness, his mercy, his love, the work that he is doing and the work that he has already done in our life. And I just want to encourage each and every one of you. And as Brother Eli was encouraged, I think Sister Daisy, but we know that her grandmother or mother is not in heaven with Jesus. She's sleeping in the grave. So we have to remember that she's sleeping. And when Christ returns, he will raise her up from the dead. So praise the Lord. Matthew chapter 5, starting at verse 3, says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemaker, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake." Verse 12, it says, "Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecute they the prophet which were before you." And it continues to remind us that we are the salt of the earth. And if the salt loses favor, how can it be salted? So we are set apart for to do a work, a mighty work on earth, to point people back to Jesus, to tell him about his soon coming, and to pray for them so that they can accept the Savior as their personal Savior, and that they can repent. We all need to repent. You know, we're asking for blessing, we're asking for all these things, but there are some areas in our life and God is not pleased with. So may the Lord help us to see what we ought to do. You know, he has the great Ten Commandments and tell us that things that we ought to do and things that we should not do. So let us seek the Lord earnestly in those things that we are supposed to do so that we can be blessed. And as Sister Leola said, you know, stress and worries, it causes problems. I was going to share this Thursday, but I'll share some now. It says, it says, human beings are not meant to live in chronic stressful situation. Extended period of stress down regulate the immune system and produce disease. Our thoughts can make us sick, or our thoughts can make us well. So you got to choose you this day. You know, are you going to think positive thoughts, or are you going to think negative thoughts? We have, you know, things that we, you know, we go through, struggles and trial, but we have to give those to Jesus and ask him to help us to overcome whatever defects and whatever trial that we're going through. And just one more, because we know that 5 minutes of anger or 5 minutes of stress or whatever it is, fearfulness, can lower your immune system for 6 long hours. Or 5 minutes of compassion boosts the immune system immediately and increasing for the next 6 hours. So 6 hours of lower immune system or 6 hours of boost in our immune system will help us to fight off all the disease, the malady that's going on around us, so that we can be healthy Christian and we can direct others to Christ and tell them what they ought to be doing at this present time. So again, thank you, Sister Leola, and I'm going to encourage each and every one of my sisters and brothers. May you be blessed and encouraged this evening. Amen. Thank you.
Ooh, Sister Carla, I am so happy you brought that. Oh, my goodness, I did not know that. I always knew sisters and brothers that could bring you serious problems and worry, could bring you ulcers. I know that much, because I know someone that's been through that. And we don't please
Give it to Jesus. And you know the scripture? Jesus said, give me your burdens. You know why? Because he's able to carry it. Sisters and brothers, we are mere humans. And this fleshly body, it has that immune and it has the adrenaline. And when that adrenaline has to direct itself somewhere in your body because, you know, you got that stress going on and it has to go somewhere. Don't you know it's going to the weakest part of your body? And when it go to that part, that can cause a disease, cancer. It can do a sort of pain. What Sister Carla is saying is powerful. I know that much, but I did not know that it hold your body, I'm going to say like almost like jail or hold your body in a bad situation for 6 hours. Don't you know bringing your body, your immune down for 6 hours, you are subject to get anything? You can come down with some sickness. As Sister Carla was saying, you know how people caught COVID because their immune system was low. You know how people go through so many other little sickness, disease, as in cancer, because your immune is real low. So think about it, sisters and brothers. When you are worried about something, call on Jesus and tell Jesus, you told me I can just give this to you. Be bold, because Jesus said, if you bold, that means you believe it. Believe it, sisters. Don't hold on to no worry. Don't hold on to no stress. Give it to him. Send it out as soon as it happens. Oh, Father, Father, let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, Lord, we come to you, Lord. We know you, Lord Father, but yet if we holding on to stress and doubt and unbelief, Father, you count that as not believing. So, Father, please have mercy on all my sisters and brothers, Lord, that they don't know how to deal with it. Sometimes, yes, we don't know how to deal with it. Sometimes we don't know what to do. But, Father, show us, brothers and sisters, how to deal with it, Father. You say, give it to you. And, dear Father, when we give it to you, leave it there. Get up and go about your business and forget about it. And get the strength, as Sister Daisy said, I got strength. And that strength comes from God. As I was talking about earlier, the love for God, God's love for man. If God loves so strong for you, brothers and sisters, it's no way. You got to get that strength from God, and he will give it to you. He said he knows how to give his children good gift that ask. So please ask him. My sisters, we don't want to have no stress. We don't want to have no certain sudden death in our lives. Oh, please, Father, help us. Help us, Lord. Lord, we need you. Father, fill my sisters and brothers with your Holy Spirit. Let them know you're right there for them, Lord. You're just right there, Lord, with it, just in a call. Say, Jesus, Jesus. He's there, sisters and brothers. Call his name. You ain't calling it for nothing. When you and that call on him, he said he would answer. Oh, Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you for this prayer line. Thank you for the sisters and brothers coming on. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the testimonies. Thank you for what Sister Carla just shared, what my brothers and sisters share. And, Lord, thank you for them coming on, telling that it's the stress that bothered them. Because if we are your brothers and sisters, we cannot judge. We cannot have anything in our heart trying to assume or anything what's going on. That is not our problem. It is God that need to answer our sister. We need to be in prayer for them. Oh, Father, thank you. You, Lord. Thank you for helping us here tonight, Father. In the name of Jesus, we do pray. We do pray. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Sister Carla. Thank you. Thank everyone for coming to share. My heart goes out to everyone that have any issues that is hard to depart from. Please do not let these issues overtake you, but give them to a man that knows how to deliver you, and he know how. And didn't the woman, the woman just touch the hem of her garment? She believed, if I just touch that hem, I'm going to be made whole. So find that position to touch him. Believe, my brothers and sisters. Let us see it, Brother Akeem. He will be coming on. Anyone else that like to share anything, press 1 and your line will be open. But we will go into a prayer because Brother Akeem will be here in just a second. So let us go into prayer. There's no one else pray. No one else touch 1. But and sister, would you like to share that testimony? Because there's many love to hear your testimony. Because your testimony was God's will. Amen. So not today. So sometime that's the way it is. So thank you, Sister Carla. And Sister Carla, we're going to ask if you can go into prayer. And you heard Sister Daisy. Sister Daisy wants, she's going into surgery on September. Just lift that up in prayer. Brother Rick Kevin needs prayer. He's going through a cancer, and it seemed like it's getting a little tough for him. We have Sister Tamiko praying for her family. Brother Eli, you heard all the requests. And just lift up general, Sister Carla. Will you be able to pray for us?
Can you hear me? Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes. And okay. Sister Katie. Also, you know her request. Amen?
Yes.
And general prayer for everyone on the line. Amen.
Amen. Let us pray, brothers. Kind and loving Father, as we come before you, Lord, there's nothing good in me, Father, but through your grace, through your power, through your free gift that you have given each and every one of us, Lord, claim those, and we want to present those to you this evening, Lord. Because you are not a God that you should lie like men. You are righteous. You are holy. And you're looking for people that are righteous and holy without spot or wrinkle. Lord, that is our character. Without spot or wrinkle, our character being made righteous and holy. Lord, I bring Sister Tamiko before you. I ask that you will help her. I ask that you will deliver her and her family, her children, her husband, her daughter, her grandkids, from the jaw of the enemy, O Father. Release them in the name of Jesus. Help them to choose life, O Lord, and life everlasting with you, Lord. Be with that family in a special way. Continue to press upon their heart, Lord, and deliver them. Even Sister Daisy, O Lord, you know her request. You know her heart's concern, and she's going into surgery, O Father, but we know you are the great physician, and you want not only to heal her body, but her mind and her soul, Father, in the name of Jesus, we claim her for your kingdom, Lord, her family, Lord, her children, even her boyfriend, oh, Father. We ask that they will make the right decision to get married, oh, Father, so that you can truly bless that union, oh, Father. When we're out of union with you, oh, Father, you winked at us in ignorance, but you're calling us to repent and to do things the right way. When we know better, we ought to do better, Lord. Bless Sister Daisy. Bless her family, her situation. Work it out accordingly, O Father, in the name of Jesus. We thank you for your mercy, your protection over their life, Lord, and over their belongings, Lord. I pray for the dear sister, Lord, Sister Eva, Lord, Eve, Lord, and those that are going through death at this time, mourning of loved one, O Father. You said they're sleeping in the grave. They have no memories, O Father. But I just thank you, Father. I hope that they have received you as their personal Savior, Lord. And each and every one of us, we're having time to afflict our soul, to repent, and to accept you as our Savior, Lord. I pray for the family, Lord, that is mourning, oh, Father, that they will turn to you, which is, you know, our needs and our suffering, our pains, because you went through it on Calvary, and you rose again, and you went through it, seeing each and every one of us suffer, Lord. You felt our infirmity, our pains, our anguish, our disappointment, our sadness, our grieving, our anger, our fear, Lord, but you want to take that away from us and give us peace, comfort, health, grace, long-suffering, love, and joy within our hearts, within our home, oh, Lord. I ask that you will be with Brother Rick and his family, his wife, oh, Father. Please have mercy upon her, Lord. You know what's going on with her body, her aches and pains, and you know the surgery, I believe he said, that's coming up, Lord. I ask that you will take the lead, that you will comfort her, that you will prepare her for the surgery, oh, Father, and prepare her heart for your soon coming, oh, Father. We don't know the time or the hour of your coming or the time or the hour of us leaving this earth, but I ask that you will forgive us, Lord. May we be broken and convicted of our sin, of what we have done, what we have said, Lord, things that we have been disobedient to you about, Lord. Please forgive us. Please help us. There's none, no righteous person on this line, Father. So I ask that you will have mercy on each and every one of us, our family, our friends, children, grandchildren, and our neighbors, oh, Lord, the dear brothers dealing with cancer. Lord, you know the hurt that he's going through, the disappointment that he's going through. You know the pain and suffering, Lord. Please touch him in the name of Jesus. Give him comfort and relief. May he give his heart to you. Oh, Lord, have mercy in the name of Jesus. Oh, Father, may he make that decision to change his life. It's not too late, Lord. He's still alive, and you're in the business of healing and touching and resorting people back to perfect health. But there's some decision that needs to be made. There's some cleansing within and without that needs to be made, oh, Lord. Deliver that dear brother and even those that are going through malady at this time, Lord. I thank you for Sister Leola, her family, or her husband, Lord, her daughter, her son, and grandchildren, Lord. Continue to supply their needs. Continue to strengthen her so that she can strengthen others, her family and her husband. Bless him, Lord. Protect him and guide him and keep him from all danger and harm. As the provider of the household, Lord, put a hedge of protection around their family, Lord. Even around my family, Lord, each and every one of us, oh, Lord, be with Sister Katie, her family, decision that needs to be made, Lord, in her life situation, whatever is going on, you know it, oh, Father, you have called us out of the city into the country, provide for her the place that's so needed, Lord, as I've heard that country living, it's also about making that preparation, moving mentally before move spiritually so that the mind can be prepared for country living, reading, taking on the gardening, whatever, reading books, watching things that will help us to be prepared for the country living, Lord. Please, again, bless each and every one of us on this line, unspoken prayer requests. Be with them, Brother Eli, his mom, and the dear brothers and sisters that he has lifted up, oh, Lord, have mercy upon them, Lord. Please deliver them in the name of Jesus. May they be converted, oh, Lord, and give their hearts to you, oh, Lord. And those that are not on with us, I ask a special blessing upon them. Be with Sister Brenda and Brother John and their family, oh, Lord. Be with each and everyone that's on, Lord, and their friends and family. Bless the speaker at this hour, Brother Akeem. May you fill him with your Holy Spirit, Lord. May you give him a double portion of your blessing, O Lord. Help him, O Father, where he's weak, where he's struggling. Lord, we all have battles that we battle in, things that we need to overcome, and I ask that you will touch him in a special way and give him the desire of his heart, which is according to your will, Father. You want us all to be happy. You said it's not good for men to be alone. You said two is better than one, Lord, and I ask that you will bless your children this evening, Sister Stephanie, Sister Powell, and all of those that are not on and those that are on that I don't know, those that are abroad, Japan, China, South Korea, Canada, the UK, Father, the Caribbean, and even here in the United States. Be with us, Lord, as we come together and we study and we praise you and we grow in truth and spirit and in health, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, even Brother O'Neill and his family. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Sister Carla, for just bringing the word of prayer to us and lifting us up. And now, brothers and sisters, we're going to open the line for Brother Akeem James. He's here. And let us open his line. Amen. We open the line 301-640. Your line is open. You can give us your name and where you're calling
all
from.
Right.
Amen.
Amen. Can you guys hear me? All right. Awesome. Awesome. Well, glad to be back this evening. And as we go into our study today, just a recap from last week, we saw that God wants us to be prepared as it concerns building his work and the system that he set up for us to build. And we also saw that he's calling us to be, in a sense, entrepreneurs. We looked at the fact that God raised up the children of Israel in the Old Testament, and each one of them had trades. Every child in Israel had a trade that, regardless of where they may find themselves in life, regardless of whether a captivity happened or if they found themselves on their own, they would have a business of their own through which not only could they survive, but also they can further God's cause. And so that is something we spoke about last week. We have to do what we can in order to do the system that God has called us to do, in order to build the system that God has called us to build. And so there's an aspect in which that incorporates studying, it incorporates reading books of how to learn, how to become self-supporting, how to not, in a sense, do self-begging, receiving the donations of others and their support, but not being dependent on that. And we saw that with Paul. He was like that. Paul was a tent maker, having his own business through which many times the New Testament tells us he was able, and the spirit of prophecy tells us he was able to support his brethren in the work. That's how much God was blessing him in the business that he had, the trade that he did, which was tent making. And so today we're going to look at what happens when we do what we can do. Last week we looked at the fact that we must do what we can do, that God truly helps us as we endeavor with the strength that he gives us to help ourselves, that as we build, then what we can't do, God will interpose. He will step in and do that which we can't do. And so today we'll see that to a greater degree. This is so powerful. This is why it was kind of hinted at in the prayer. But friends, if we are truly to become financially sound, if we are to truly be able not just to survive but to thrive in this life, in the self-supporting work that God is calling us to do, it takes an aspect of financial acumen, financial understanding, learning how to work with money, learning how to accumulate, as the spirit of prophecy says, accumulate wealth for noble ends. And so there's a part that we must do, but when we do our part, now we will see today what God will do. And so let's go in our Bibles to the book of Isaiah chapter 60, and as we read that, we'll also read some statements from the spirit of prophecy. But if we can have a word of prayer before we start. Father in heaven, I pray that you will bless our minds and our hearts. Give us wisdom and understanding as we look at your word today. Teach us, O God, to do what we can and to know that in the areas where we have reached our limit, that you will do what we can't. But Lord, help us and strengthen us. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. All right. So Isaiah chapter 60, a powerful text that is used in inspiration in regards to the end of time as well. And you can almost hear Revelation 18 in Isaiah 60, because it gives the idea of the world being illuminated, people being enlightened, So it says in verse 1, arise. This is Isaiah speaking to God's people. God speaking through Isaiah to his people, arise, shine, for thy light is come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. So notice it says, arise, shine, for thy light is come. Now in scripture, according to John chapter 8 and verse 12, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. And so Christ came to reveal, how was Christ a light? Because he came into the world to illuminate the world, just like light does, but in a spiritual sense, he came to illuminate the world concerning the character of God. And so when it says, God's to God's people, your light has come, it means that Christ has truly come to them. In other words, they are entering into a relationship, a depth of relationship with him, to the degree that the glory of the Lord is seen upon them. And that's what happens when we come into a true relationship with Christ. The light of his light is revealed in our lives. So people begin to see the character of God, which in the Bible is symbolized by his glory. The glory of God equals his character. And how can we shine forth to the world the character of God? It is as we come into relationship with God. Christ now dwells in our hearts by his Holy Spirit, and the result is divine love is revealed in our lives. Hence, Great Controversy tells us that what the world needed 2,000 years ago is still what it needs today. And that is a revelation of the character of God, his love being seen throughout the world because of his people. So it says here, so that's what verse 1 is alluding to. A time is coming when Christ will truly no longer be standing on the outside of the doors of Laodicea and knocking. But there's coming a time when there are those who are in Laodicea who will open the doors of their hearts to the Son of God, and he will enter in. Their light will come, and as a result, the glory, that is, the character of God, will be seen upon them, resting upon their very lives. Now, why will this be needed? Verse 2 tells us, because, or for, behold, the darkness shall cover the earth. So there is darkness that is coming, yes, already here to a degree, but nothing in comparison to what it will be as we get closer and closer to the end. A more moral darkness will pervade the world, and this is why God needs to light up the world with a revelation of his character of love, because the world will be in a state of moral darkness, moral degradation. So it says, for behold, the darkness shall cover the earth. But not just darkness. The moral darkness will be so bad that it says, and gross darkness. That's deep darkness of the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee. So despite the darkness of the world, God will be arising over us. And it says it again, and his glory, that is his character, shall be seen upon thee. So God is promising us here that there's coming a time, the time of the very end of the world, when moral, gross moral darkness will be sweeping all over the face of the earth, that God will have people in every part of the world that will be lighting up that area in which they are in with the very character of Jesus Christ, the light himself. That is how we are made a light. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16, that states, Jesus speaking to his disciples and speaking to his disciples all across time to the very end of time, he says, you are the light of the world. A city set upon a hill cannot be hid, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. Why? That all that are in the house may see it, he says. Then he says, let your light so shine before men. Now, how does that happen? He then says the next part. He explains it in the next part. He says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So in other words, how can the world tell that Christ dwells in our hearts? How is it that they're able to see the light? By our works. God knows our hearts, but men can only tell the heart of a man by the works of the individual. It is by their fruit, Jesus says, you shall know them. And friends, if that fruit, even if that fruit is not genuine, for there are many that can do good works from a selfish heart. But in time, the very motive of the heart is revealed. And so it will be clear who is doing it out of love, who is doing it because their hearts are evil and they desire glory for themselves. But this time, when it comes, everyone will be able to look upon the church. And this is a parallel, friends, to Revelation 18, which actually depicts the same thing, the whole world being illuminated with the glory of God. But how? Illuminated by God's people. God shining out his character through his people. The Holy Spirit dwelling in their hearts, revealing the love of God. This is what fills the whole world with the revelation of who Christ is at the very end. So Isaiah 60 is the Revelation 18 of the Old Testament. And Revelation 18 in the New Testament is Isaiah 60 repeated. And so both texts are speaking of the same thing. But in Isaiah 60, it reveals something to us that will happen once the light and the life of Christ is revealed in our lives. And this is why I mentioned the system, because as we become entrepreneurs in our mindset, meaning that we begin to adopt trades, we begin to build businesses of our own, begin to learn how to build our finances and take care of our financial state. As we begin to do that, what will happen is, unlike the wealthy, and this is a powerful truth that many are beginning to see as it concerns the world, there are men in the world who may know how to build wealth. And we're going to find out just now that that is a talent that is given to people by God. God gives people the ability to build wealth. The only problem is that many of the people in the world, they don't necessarily have a system to put that wealth towards. They make wealth, and once they get to one level, they desire to go to the next level and the next level. But the thing is, they don't necessarily know the work that they are to put that resource into. And so they may go out there, they may get grand houses, which is nothing necessarily wrong with that, but they might put their money into that, or they might put their resources into getting the latest major intense sports car, or they may put it into stuff that many times doesn't necessarily make sense. But for the children of God, we understand that there is a system to be built up at the end of time that will require monetary resources, and we know that, okay, as I, in my entrepreneurial mindset, as I am making resources and God is blessing me and giving me the ability to learn how to accumulate wealth, I understand now that that wealth, yes, is to go towards taking care of our families, yes, it's to go to taking care of people around us, for sure, but above all else, it is also to go towards the system that God has designed. That system is the city work that we covered before, and also the work that must be done in the country. The city work, as it comprises going from house to house, doing door-to-door work, doing personal labor, building hygienic restaurants, building health food stores, churches connected to schools, and doing evangelistic missionary work to the cities. All these things require money. But the thing is, the people of God, while desiring, some people desiring to do that work, they have a bad relationship with money. They think that money is evil. And I'm going to read to you some stuff here. And I thought this stuff was only within our generation, the sayings that we have in our generation of it's not money that's the root of all evil, but the love of it. I thought that originated with probably the past two generations. But we're going to see that Ellen White actually brings out this point, that God desires for us to learn how to connect with those who have resources and also ourselves to be able to build resources. Why? Because it will take those financial resources to build this system in the city. It will take also financial resources, friends, to build the system in the country, such as sanitariums, such as even our institutions. We're supposed to be in the country, institutions of learning where we train people to send them out, whether to do pastoring or to do missionary work. The places where we would have our media centers, all of these things were to be done in the country area as well as farmland to plant our own, to bring forth our own food. All of these things were to be planted in the country, but even those things, it takes money to do that. So God is calling us not to have any relationship with money. He is calling us instead to have the right relationship with it. And so that means we will have to read, we'll have to study on how to operate wisely with our finances, how to build finances, how to come to a point where we're not dependent as much on others, to bring ourselves to a point where we are truly self-supporting. So that's something that we looked at last time. And so we're going to read, we're going to continue reading. So Isaiah 60, verses 1 to 2 covers that. That's part of the light. Because one of the things in the Old Testament is that as people looked at Israel, the reason that they were so blown away by Israel was not only because of the things God had done for them, but because of the way that they ordered and organized themselves. As people looked over from mountains far to where the Israelites were encamped, they saw a people set up in a perfect square surrounding an edifice called the tabernacle. And they heard of their laws that they would keep and realized the major health benefits from it. All of these things they saw and they realized, wow, these people are an organized people. That's when they were not in apostasy. They were recognized for that because of the systems that God had given them. In the same way, at the end of time, this is the witness that God desires to give to the world. A people that are organized, that has systems set in place, and they have built these systems that God has given them to build from a revived heart. As a result, they become such a systematic witness that it brings them into favor with many. But in the end, it also brings much persecution against us because we will be gaining, as Jesus did, so much influence because we would go about doing good. Think about it, people coming to our sanitariums and being healed, people coming to our health food stores and leaving with products that can strengthen their bodies. They would realize that these people desire to bring good to our community. So friends, this is why I'm saying all of this. So this system now is manifested. This is the light that is now manifested. The church becomes organized. Now, what happens when that takes place? When we learn to build our own resources, build up these things that I'm mentioning in the country and the city, what will then happen? Verse 3 tells us this. This is the result. It says, and the Gentiles, that is those who don't know God, shall come to thy light. In other words, what happens? The people of the world will be attracted. Here is the part where we begin to gain influence. And the kings, that is, who are rulers, who are leaders within our world, kings to the brightness of thy, look at it, the brightness of thy rising. So we will be rising in influence, rising in status, rising in power and authority, because what? Now Christ has come in. Now we are doing the work that he's called us to do. Now we have become well, practical people. And then it says, not only will rulers come to us, but friends, it also tells us that worldly people will come to us, and it goes on to say in verse 4, lift up thine eyes round about and see. All they gather themselves together. They come to thee. Thy son shall come from far, and thy daughter shall be nursed at thy side. And here's the condition that we'll be in. You shall see, then thou shalt see, and flow together. That means what? We will be in full unity. We will be one. That was the prayer, by the way, Christ in John chapter 17. You shall float together, and thine heart shall fear. Why? And be enlarged. Because what? The abundance. So while it is true, friends, now check this out. While it is true that there are many people that will be lost at the end of time, and many people emphasize that, friends, many will be saved. Why? Because it says, because the abundance of the seed shall be converted to thee. In other words, seed represents in Bible prophecy what? Peoples, multitudes, nations, tongues. So as a result of this systematic work from a revived heart, men and women who know how to accumulate wealth for noble ends, putting that into the work of building up these systems in the city and in the country, there will be now a systematic witness. People of the world, rulers, and many out of the world will be converted to us. Now, what will these worldlings do as they are converted and they come and join God's people in this work? It says, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee, here's what it says, the forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. Now, if you look up that word forces in the original Hebrew language in which Isaiah wrote Isaiah 60, you will find out that the word forces actually means wealth. It means riches. So literally what the verse is saying to us, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee, the wealth, the riches of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. And then from verse 6 onward, it mentions the wealth in the context of Isaiah's time. In the context of Isaiah's time, it will be gold and silver and animals and different kinds of things that would be considered money at that time. But in our day, it would be the riches, the resources that these people have, they will give to us. And friends, that will only further the work. So do you see what happens? When we do what we can, as we looked at last week, then God will bring even an abundance more of resources to us to carry the work forward even more. And this is what we are told as a result. This is something we're told in the spirit of prophecy. It says, and I'm going to read a few paragraphs here for us, the Bible does not condemn the rich man because he is rich. That's how many have taught it. They say, oh, because a person is rich, that means they're not right with God. And many people equate being poor to being godly. But that was never the intention of the Bible, and we're realizing that here. A person can be poor and be godly, but it doesn't mean that being poor, one has to become poor to be godly. I pray that makes sense. In the same way, a person can be rich and also be godly. We have examples of that in Scripture. Statement continues, the Bible does not condemn the rich man because he is rich. It does not declare the acquisition of wealth, meaning the ability to gain wealth, to be a sin. Right? It does not declare the acquisition of wealth to be a sin, nor does it say that money is the root of all evil. You see that? So it's not something new that we use in our day. This was understood, according to the spirit of prophecy, way back then. On the contrary, the scriptures state that it is God who gives the power to get wealth. This is Ellen White, friends. And this ability is a precious talent if consecrated to God and employed to advance his cause. Do you see that? The Bible does not condemn genius or art, for these come of the wisdom which God gives. We cannot make the heart purer or holier by clothing the body in sackcloth or depriving the home of all the ministers to comfort, taste, or convenience. Do you see what she's saying? To be poor is not to be holy. Do you see that? She's not saying that, okay, as many people say in our world today, and even among many of us who believe present truth, many equate being poor to being spiritual, to being godly. But she's saying, no, don't think because you may not have resources and, oh, now I'm clothing myself in sackcloth and I'm depriving myself of all of these things. That doesn't make you holy. And so, friends, this is so vital, so powerful, because it's so practical. And that's why last week I was mentioning that we must ever remember when Jesus came into this world as a peasant according to the circumstances that he was born into and that he went through for his life and according to the mission to which he was called. Yes, according to the circumstances that surrounded him, he was called to be a peasant. But that doesn't mean that Abraham was called to that life, right? He was called to be a nomad. But if you look at Abraham's life, God had given him the ability to amass wealth for God's glory. Hence, I mentioned that Jesus is the main thing that God wanted us to see with Jesus is being poor was in the terms of his character, to have a humble character. Because not all of us, but yet all of us are called to be humble as Christ was, to have his character in our lives, no matter what station of life we find ourselves in, no matter whether we are rich or poor, we are Christ. That is the thing. Many people, because Christ went about as a peasant, that means that they have to be a peasant. And this is not what God is saying. God is saying that as Christ went about with a godly character in humility, we are all to have that kind of character, not boastful, not proud, not arrogant, remembering that even if we are able to amass great resources, it is because God gave us that ability and not we ourselves. We trained, and as we trained, God gave us more and more talents to use for his glory. It continues by saying the scriptures teach that wealth is a dangerous possession only when placed in competition with the immortal treasure. It is when the earthly and temporal absorbs the thoughts, the affections, the devotion, which God claims, that it becomes a snare. Those who are bartering the eternal weight of glory for a little of the glitter and tinsel, the everlasting habitations for a home which can be but a few years at best, are making an unwise choice. And then she says it, it is the love of money that the word of God denounces as the root of all evil. Do you see that? Not money itself. Money itself is the gift of God to men to be used with fidelity in his service. Now check this out. Remember I mentioned Abraham? She continues, God blessed Abraham and made him rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. And the Bible states, as an evidence of divine favor, that God gave David, Solomon, Jehoshaphat, Hezekiah very much riches and honor. Like other gifts of God, the possession of wealth, its increase of responsibility, and its peculiar temptations. That's why we have to make sure that we have our hearts right. It is the heart that will be tempted. As that happens, as we learn to build and we grow, if we don't train our hearts to be selfless now, then when we have resources, we'll be selfish then. So it is crucial that our hearts are right. Now she continues by saying this. This goes in a little bit more to Isaiah 60. And those who are wealthy, who will come into the work at the end of time and give their wealth to the work. It says, those belonging to the higher ranks of society, now listen to this, are to be sought out by blasting them with the truth. No, this is what it says, friends, are to be sought out with tender affection and brotherly regard. This class has been too much neglected. It is the Lord's will that men to whom he has entrusted many talents shall hear the truth in a manner different from the way in which they have heard it in the past. That means we must develop new methods to reach the rich. You can't use the same methods as you do to reach the poor. That's why inspiration actually tells us that Jesus studied how to reach the wealthy. It continues by saying, men in business, in positions of trust, men with large inventive faculties and scientific insights, men of genius, are to be among the first to hear the gospel. There are men of the world who have God-given powers of organization. Do you see that? That's why when we look out into the world today and we see these men who are secular in mindset, but they know how to organize. They know how to strengthen and encourage others. They know how to teach others how to do business. Many of us as Seventh-day Adventists, we look at them and we're like, no, we can't learn from them. These people, they can't teach us anything. But do you notice what she says here? There are men of the world who have God-given powers of organization, which are needed in the carrying forward of the work for these last days. So we have the truth, and these men have the organization and the resources. Our work, God is showing us, is to, yes, it's not that we can't listen to them or learn from them, but the crucial point is that we must know how to filter what they're saying, because there are aspects that they're saying that is completely worldly, and we have to filter that through the lens of present truth. But at the same time, she's saying, we must gain the confidence of these men. We must win them to the faith, because what can they help us with? Organization. And as they come into the faith and they accept the truth, because they see we are a people of order already, friends, they will only add to what we have already. It says, all are not preachers, but men are needed who can take the management of the institutions where industrial work is carried on. Men who in our conferences can act as leaders and educators. This is why we have to think big. We can't think small. We have to think beyond the borders of the church. To be able to reach these kind of people, we have to enter into their sphere. And there are men in leading positions, men among self-supporting workers, men among conference workers who are able to do this. But we have to take our minds higher to think that, whoa, I can enter into this sphere and begin to influence these people. I can begin, as she said, as Ellen White said in one place in the testimony, she said, to bring new life into old methods, and to bring new life into new methods, to try different ways that do not compromise our faith to reach the higher classes within society. God needs men who can look ahead and see what needs to be done, men who can act as faithful, here it is, financiers, men who, that means men who can deal with money wisely, men who will stand as solid as a rock to principle in the present crisis and in the future perils that may arise. And this is taken from the Review and Herald, May 8th, 1900. Friends, so why? The reason I'm saying this as we bring everything to a close now is that on one side, you need to learn how to build wealth, to put it towards the cause as we take on an entrepreneurial mindset. Friends, even if you're in a 9-to-5 job today and you can still do this work part-time, then learn how to build resources through that 9-to-5 and slowly work your way into building up this part-time work that God may have placed a passion in your heart to do a specific thing, that he's saying you can do this in your own personal sphere of influence, and this can help you in terms of you building resources. So what I would say is not necessarily that if you sense God is calling you out of your 9-to-5 into your own business, I wouldn't dare say just jump and leave your 9-to-5 and do that, right? What I'm saying is to slowly transition to that and learn how to build it in such a way that it comes up to a time where you can support yourself through that part time. Because it wouldn't make practical sense to just leave your 9-to-5, right, and then join some self-supporting work that you're doing, and you're not even where you are supposed to be in that part-time work financially. So that's why it is advised to do these things gradually. So you're doing your 9-to-5 as you build your own business. you build your own trade so that you're never left lacking. And the resources that you make from that trade, to put it into the work, the systems that God has given us in the country and the city. But once that now happens and we do what we can as God's people from a revived heart, as we begin to do good as Jesus did, our influence grows. And as people see the miracles taking place among us, as they see our organization, men of the world will take note. And we have evidence of this in our history. When there were patches of time in our church where people began to do this work, and people of the world began to take notice. And in the areas where we couldn't move forward, God then says, because you've done all that you can do, I will bring the men of the world in order to help you. And friends, when these things begin to happen, it is then I believe that the time of trouble will really come upon us, because Satan will realize, just like it was with Christ, as he began his public work and his influence started to grow, because as Ellen White says, he was a living, walking, breathing sanitarium in his own person. His influence grew, and as his influence grew, so did his enemies. And so it came to a point where they planned to kill him, and ultimately that plan went forward. The same way, as we do the work and our influence grows, it will continue to grow in power, right? But when that grows, so will our enemies. Hence, the persecution will begin. So I pray that this makes sense, the balance between self-supporting while at the same time God bringing in people to help us, people that in the world that he has given abilities that will come and help us in this work in the very end and join us. I pray, friends, that we will be able to stand and do this work by God's grace. Father in heaven, continue to strengthen our minds and hearts. Give us a passion, Lord, for this cause, that indeed from a revived heart, a heart that trusts you by faith, coming from a position of accepting the righteousness of Christ by faith, we may become more and more industrious. That, Lord, knowing that when we have done all that we can, that you will send mighty agencies from the world to help us in areas where we can't move forward, that we may be able to have all we need in abundance to finish this work. I pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen, amen. Entrepreneurs, brothers and sisters, and Sister Leola want to be that one day. So, Brother Akeem, thank you for bringing us this message, and we will ponder on that, and we're going to pray and ask God to see how we could become entrepreneurs and bless the Lord. I'm telling you, that's one blessing that I really want to have, to work for myself and to be able to help someone else. You know, that is truly a blessing. So, Brother Akeem, I'm just asking our brother to share with us, brothers and sisters, what is the best entrepreneur or job that a brother and sister can, you know, get or do? You know, is it something that we can, gain from selling vegetables, or, you know, just something that will be something that you can start off like a starter or something like that? What you can tell us?
Yes, so that's a powerful question. You know what I will do, Sister Leola? I will set it up in such a way that next Sunday, I will mention something now, but I will set it up in such a way that between now and next Sunday, we will strictly talk about that. Different things that people are doing, that I'm doing, specifically jobs or businesses that they're starting off that are helping them to get to this point. And so I will definitely set that up. What I would say for right now, though, is to take certain hours out of your week, for people to take certain hours out of their week and to truly sit down, get a notepad, buy one from whether it be your local dollar store or whether it be Walmart, wherever you are, that you can get your hands on one of those and write down, ask God to show you what are the gifts and the talents that he's giving you. And so once you understand that, as it says in Proverbs 18:16, I'll read that for us here, Proverbs 18:16. It says, a man's gift maketh room for him and brings him before great men. So the thing is to understand our gifts, and then, and one of the definitions you can look at as to find out what your gift is, not just what you're passionate about, that's one for sure, but the other is, what can you do that comes so easy to you that that same thing, when someone else does it, it may take them hours to do it. But you can do it, and the moment you do it, it's done. It's something that comes very easy to you and that you love doing. That's one of the ways to define your gift, the ability that God has given you. And so we'll come back to that. But what's happening now is that as people are doing this and they're using their gifts, they are using their gifts and making their gifts into a business itself. And I'll show you more about that next week, so that everything will make sense. So you have practical steps of things you can do.
Amen. Amen. And give me that Proverbs what?
That's Proverbs 18:16.
Amen. Amen. And brothers and sisters, I hope you were blessed with this message and even the tip that he's given us. And please be here next week, and that we can get the tips from God and as the Lord lead us. But get your notepad, ask brother. I'm going to get me one, and I have one. Write these things down, that my gifts or whatever I'm good at. Ask the Lord to show me, and God bless you all. And thank you, Brother Akeem, for sharing this with us, and God bless you for just preaching his word, and want to increase Brother Sister's talent, because this is what God wants us to do, each and every one of us. Amen. So may God bless you all tonight.
Amen.
Peace and love and rest, and may he watch over you and take care of you until you wake up in the morning. Amen. God bless. And sisters and brothers, you all have a good night's rest. Amen. Now play this song to lead us off.
I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or land. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand than to be the king of a vast domain, or be Jesus than anything that this world affords today. I'd rather have Jesus than man's applause. I'd rather be faithful to to his dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to his holy name than to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything that this world affords today, than to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything that this world affords today.